and thanks for joining us on Chicago Tonight Latino Voices. I'm Joanna Hernandez. Here's what we're looking at.
It's really kind of more of a chasm.
How a new state law is trying to close gaps in pay. Why New Year's resolutions can be so important, and how, and some tips on how to stay consistent. Supermoons, meteor showers, and lunar eclipse. The Chicago astronomer breaks down what the stars are up to in 2025.
The schools are in great need. The community is in a great need. You know, they want to raise their children to be bilingual.
And how a Chicago business owner is helping kids access bilingual books. And now to some of today's top stories. More details about what's being called a terrorist attack in New Orleans on New Year's Eve. The FBI says 42-year-old Samdee Jabbar is suspected of carrying out the attack alone. According to the FBI, Jabbar drove to New Orleans on December 31st, plowing into a crowd of people on Bourbon Street after midnight in a pickup truck. The FBI has called the attack an act of terrorism, resulting in the loss of 14 lives, with numerous others injured. Jabbar died in a shootout with police. Investigators say they discovered guns and improvised devices, along with an ISIS flag within the vehicle. The U.S. Army veteran from Texas has reportedly been found to have made a declaration of support for ISIS and is said to have joined the militant Islamic State group before last summer. The FBI is investigating potential communication he may have had with others before the incident.
What I can tell you right now is that he was 100% inspired by ISIS. And so we're digging through more of the social media, more interviews, working with some of our other partners to ascertain a little bit more about that connection.
And during an event at the White House, President Biden briefly commented on the attack.
As of now, no information. We have no information that anyone else is involved in the attack. They've established that the attacker was the same person who planted the explosives in those ice coolers in two nearby locations in the French Quarter just a few hours before he rammed into the crowd with his vehicle. They assess he had a remote detonator in his vehicle to set off those two ice chests.
And Chicago police have increased presence near Trump Tower downtown following a fatal vehicle explosion outside the president-elect's Las Vegas hotel early Wednesday. As a precaution, Chicago police say they will conduct additional patrols in the immediate area around the tower. The incident in Las Vegas included firework mortars and camp fuel canisters discovered in the back of a Tesla Cybertruck that exploded outside Trump's Las Vegas hotel. The explosion resulted in the death of one person inside the vehicle and sparked an intense investigation. The man has been identified as Matthew Livensburg, a U.S. Army Green Beret who had been deployed twice to Afghanistan. Some lucky fans were able to score special Derrick Rose roses. The beloved former Chicago Bulls star opened a one-day pop-up flower shop today called Roses. Hundreds of people lined up along State Street this morning for a chance to meet him and receive red roses between noon and 4 p.m. The pop-up event comes just in time for Derrick Rose Night at the United Center, which celebrates the youngest MVP in NBA history this Saturday. Rose retired from the NBA before the start of the 2024-2025 season. What a treat. Up next, Illinois is tackling disparities in pay with the new law. Amanda Vinicky explains right after this.
Chicago Tonight, Latino Voices, is made possible in part by the support of these donors.
From now on, Illinois companies will have to be more upfront about job descriptions. WTTW News reporter Amanda Vinicky joins us now with more on a new state law. Amanda, Happy New Year. So nice to have you starting off the year nicely with you as my first guest.
Well, thank you. You too.
I know. I'm very, very glad. So, Amanda, what's the law and what's behind it?
Okay, so it has been a while since I've applied for a job. You too, I'm sure. We love working here at WTTW, but most of us have been there where you apply for a job, maybe even go through a couple of interviews, only to be disappointed when at long last the salary is revealed. Shouldn't be happening anymore. It's because of a new state law which took effect just yesterday. It says all Illinois businesses with at least 15 employees have to include a pay range and other compensation details. Now, as for the why, let's let Sharmili Mujadar, a policy VP at the organization Women Employed, explain.
When you discuss salary ranges openly, it becomes harder for bias, whether or not that bias is unconscious or conscious, to influence pay decisions. And that means that we are ensuring that employees who are doing substantially similar work are being paid fairly. That creates a more equitable workplace.
As it stands, there are gender disparities in pay. Women paid less. That has been the case really throughout history, and it still is.
I would love to say that that is not the case now, so laws like this aren't needed, but that is still the case. Studies, U.S. Census data all show that pay inequity continues and that women make less than men for the same work.
As the equal pay manager with the Illinois Department of Labor, Amy Sneerson tracks pay data and companies' compliance with state laws. Now, for the first time in two decades, census data last year showed the gender pay gap widening, including in Illinois and particularly for Latinas. Also, older women face a larger wage gap than younger women.
There's gender, racial, age discrimination at play. Women are also very overrepresented in low-wage jobs, in low-paid industries, and very underrepresented when it comes to higher-wage jobs.
Now, not to mention, Joanna, the so-called motherhood penalty, and that is a practice of women not being able to fully commit to work or advance in their careers because they are the ones who take on the bulk of caretaking and domestic duties.
And Amanda, how exactly will this new law help to reverse that?
Well, Sneerson says that really this is a matter of transparency, and it's giving job seekers tools. The law also requires companies to internally post opportunities for advancement.
A lot of the hiring process, a lot of the information is typically controlled by employers, right? They let out what they choose to let out, and that's their choice. This is an attempt to even things out a little bit in terms of control of information and to let employees and job seekers know what actually is available or a possibility for them.
Now, the 2025 law is the latest Illinois statute that is intended to close the gender pay gap. The state also requires many companies to report their salary data to the state, and then Sneerson analyzes it. Also, businesses are banned from asking about job applicants' salary history.
Part of the reason is because the wage gap will just follow us kind of throughout our careers. If your current salary is based on what you were previously paid, and what you're previously paid is affected by the gender wage gap. So it's a very simple, elegant solution. And the new law is actually kind of a sister practice.
Mujumdar says Illinois is among the states on the vanguard of using these tools to try to tackle the issue. Both she and Sneerson say it will, however, take some time to analyze how effective they are. Both also point out that pay discrimination is illegal on the state and on the federal level. They both say that being upfront about compensation should help businesses and that setting early expectations will save everyone time in the hiring process, also boosting employee satisfaction and trust. Now, Joanna, as well, Sneerson says the goal here not to punish, but I want to point out that when this law actually passed in 2023, and then, of course, a couple of years before it taking effect here, a bunch of businesses were opposed to it.
Well, thanks, Amanda, for the breakdown in your reporting.
Thank you.
You can read Amanda's full story on our website. That's WTTW.com/news. And we're back to talk about New Year's resolutions right after this.
For many, a new year often means new beginnings, but keeping up with resolutions is not always easy. According to Forbes Health, only 25% of people actually stay committed to their resolutions after 30 days, and less than 10% accomplish their goals. Despite the numbers, a lot of us still feel compelled to make a list of resolutions every new year. Joining us to talk about New Year's resolutions are Ernestina Perez, founder and CEO of Latinx Talk Therapy, and Marta Montes, founder and CEO of Chicago Latin Fitness. Thank you both, ladies, for being here. Now, we need to start with the phrase new year, new me, because I feel like we constantly hear that every year. What would you say, Ernestina, drives people to make and set new goals and for these new year resolutions?
Well, I think it goes with the time. It's a new year, kind of like a new chapter, time to reset. So I think people kind of reflect on what they've been doing and how they would like to grow.
What are your thoughts on the new year, new me phrase? Yeah,
I think on the surface level, it's kind of a fun way to think about it. But I do know that when people are setting goals, what's really important is to think about the intention behind them. Like, what do they really want for themselves? And then focus more on making it like a bite-sized thing that you can do. So, for example, if you want to take care of yourself more, instead of focusing on did I do it or not, just kind of being more flexible in the intention of, like, it's for my well-being, for example.
And also, if you don't do it for one day, not feeling so guilty about it, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely, because one of the things that can happen psychologically is there's a narrative that tells us that we're not doing enough somehow. So if you have a thought that says, oh, you know, I didn't meditate today like I was supposed to, you can easily start thinking, oh, like, why did I even set myself up for this? I'm going to fail. Like, or you maybe you're aware that somebody else is doing the goal, and then you start feeling like you're behind somehow. So really catching that, being very clear about what you're telling yourself, and then trying to be kinder and more flexible as you're doing it, and keeping the intention of wellness behind it.
I think we've all been there, right?
Yeah.
And Martha, let's talk about working out. Every year there are reports that more people sign up to work out, and the goal is to physically become healthier in the beginning of the year. But the consistency doesn't last very long. Why is there a decline as the year progresses?
Well, I think a lot of times people, as Ernestina said, are just caught up on like new year, new me, but we really want to focus on like, why are we doing it? Why are some of the reasons? And when we figure out what those reasons are, and we remind ourselves when we feel like, oh, well, maybe I can skip today, circle back and say, hey, I'm doing this for my health. I'm doing this to be able to play with my grandchildren or to be able to go up a flight of stairs without, you know, feeling out of breath, and really focusing on that and forgiving yourself if you skip
and
a day
you're
or two.
Feeling internally, you say.
Exactly. Like, just connect with the messages that your body's giving you. Like, did the workout feel good? Did you feel like maybe you could have done a little bit more, or you were sore in areas that just shouldn't be sore, like your lower back or your knees or your hips?
And what are your thoughts on the no pain, the no gain, no, what is it, no pain, no gain mentality?
Yeah, that's like really old school, right? Like, that's just a recipe to set up for failure. We want to be more like mindful. We want to be more connected. We want to be kind to ourselves, and we want to remember that we're doing it to be our best version, to be the most healthiest and accessible version for ourselves, for our family, to be able to have a better output in our work and in our day-to-day life.
I like the concept that you said of being mindfulness. And Ernestina, as I mentioned, Forbes held note that there has been a shift in resolution priority. 36% of people said they want to improve their mental health. 34% said they want to lose weight, and 32% said they want to improve their diet. Are mental health goals more sustainable and easier to maintain than physical health goals?
Well, I would say with a mental health goal, it could just come into coming into this moment and being more present. You're just building a relationship with yourself. So as opposed to thinking of something that you're adding to your to-do list, just come back into the now and think of something you could do just to even take care of yourself. And it could be as easy as just following your breath in the second that you're aware of it.
Would you say that people don't think about those? Like, you're talking about just feeling how your breath is. That's very simple.
Yes, it's about slowing down so that you can really build that relationship to reflect, you know, on how you're doing, as opposed to trying to check off something or feel like, oh, I did that.
Or like the go, go, go mentality, you
would
say?
That's right, yes. Because I think that's kind of what makes it difficult, and stress is really built upon that, feeling that in this moment is not enough and you should be somewhere else. And so if somebody's taking care of their mental health, the first thing would be to reflect, maybe slow down, really check in with themselves, be kinder. There's really no way that you can do that wrong.
It's okay to take a pause, guys. It's
Absolutely.
Okay to take a pause. Martha, what approach tips should people take when starting a new workout regimen?
Well, they should first check in that they have a full clearance from their doctor, that there's no contradictions. And I like the analogy of merging in. So think of when you're merging into the highway, you're not going 90 miles an hour, right? You're just slowly figuring things out, getting into the lane. So find out how often are you going to do it. Don't overplan it. Like, don't be like, I'm going to work out every single day. Maybe start with 30 minutes three times a week. Things that you enjoy, such as perhaps walking, cycling, maybe swimming, something that is going to be doable and accessible. So, you know, if ice skating is not your thing, don't sign up for it. later on, you can add some challenges, some things that you enjoy doing. But in the beginning, you just want to merge into the practice of daily activity or three or four times a week.
I like that. Setting up like a good goal for yourself, understanding who you are. Yeah. Ernestina, what should people say and do if they start to fall off their resolutions?
I think it's just more about your mindset. If you are aware that you're starting to feel unmotivated or discouraged or falling off, again, just pause and maybe you could say something a little bit encouraging to yourself.
Is there a model that you follow or a phrase that helps you?
Yeah, I would say, you know, what can I do just right now? And sometimes all that is not pressuring myself or expecting myself to be doing anything different. It's this understanding that every time you try to do your best, that could look different depending on where you're at in the moment.
Well, thank you, ladies, for those tips and advice. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Up next, we take a look at what the stars in the sky will display in 2025. Stay with us. In Chicago, the skyline can light up in the night, but look a little higher and the stars will put on a show too. But if you're worried about missing these events because of all the city lights, our next guest says there's still plenty to see. Here to break down what to expect in 2025 is our good friend Joe Guzman, founder and CEO of Chicago Astronomer. He's also a NASA ambassador. Thank you, Joe. Welcome. Happy New Year.
Happiest of New Year, Joanna.
Happiest of New Year. I see you brought a really cool telescope. But first, before we get to that, we know 2025 is already off to an exciting start with this rare event called Parade of Planets. What is it?
The celestial orbits of the planets, sometimes they're biased to one side of the solar system. Sometimes they're morning stars. Sometimes they're evening stars. Right now, currently, the planets are pushed to one side. So during the evening times, you get to see planets such as Venus and Mars and Saturn and Jupiter. And if you have a telescope, you can see Uranus and Neptune. But it's a semi-rare event. It's just a natural progression of the orbit.
So talking about if we can see it, if you could see it if you have a telescope.
Uranus and Neptune. But the other four planets, naked eye.
That's so awesome. Now, last summer, we saw a solar eclipse. Thousands of people gathered to see that. This year brings a lunar eclipse. Remind us what's happening here and what will we be able to see from Chicago?
2024 was a fantastic year for urban astronomy. Not only did we have the solar eclipse in April, but we had the lunar eclipse and we had a comet. And don't forget those fantastic aurora displays that we saw right from the city. 25 has a lot to catch up with, but already in January we have the Parade of Planets. We're going to have the crescent moon do a conjunction, meaning a pairing with Mars and Saturn tomorrow. And then on the 10th, the moon will continue its path and it will kiss Jupiter and it will be right next to a red giant called Aldebaran. Fantastic photo opportunities. And as January continues, it's not over yet. We have Mars being its closest approach to the Earth since 2022.
Is that called an occultation? Am I saying it right?
Not yet. We haven't even gone to that one yet.
Okay, that's a new one. Okay, because I see here that Mars will also have some unique events.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what it's called.
And on the 13th of January, the full wolf moon. Say that fast.
The wolf moon?
Wolf moon. Each month has a name for its moon. Snow moon, cold moon. It will occult Mars, the planet Mars, which means that the moon will slide between the Earth and Mars. And if you're observing Mars naked eye or through a telescope, it'll just blink out of existence.
So Chicagoans will be able to see some of these events.
Yes, most definitely. Grab a pair of binoculars, grab a telescope, or even naked eye. Just get out and watch.
What about space exploration? What kinds of things might we learn or try to find out this year?
NASA has launched a probe to one of the moons of Jupiter, Europa. It's called the Europa Clipper.
Europa Clipper.
And its job is to land on this ice. It's a moon covered in ice. And underneath this crust of ice, oceans and oceans of water, H2O, liquid water. And when you have water, the high probability of life exists.
Wow.
So we're going to find out and see if there's
some
anything.
New discoveries.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And we're getting the Artemis mission ready to go to the moon again. We haven't been there in over 50 years. But NASA's having setbacks right now, but it'll get there.
It'll get there. What are you most excited about?
Oh, everything. Everything astronomical. I'm excited about teaching and having young minds explore.
And you've been teaching for a couple years, correct?
After School Matters for at least 6 years.
Wow.
And I started the Chicago Astronomer in 2004.
And I know that that program is always full. There's always a line of kids wanting.
Hundreds.
Wanting to join.
Oh, yeah, yeah, most definitely. And it's a great pleasure that these young minds want to study astronomy and space exploration.
Tell me about this telescope here. You said it's from... 60s,
this is
70s?
Called an AstroScan telescope. It was made for the adventurer. Uh-huh. It has a strap. You can put it on your back, go backpacking, go camping, go mountain climbing. It was built to take abuse, and it's nice wide field views.
What year did it say you
said
it was
from? In the 70s.
Wow.
1970. This is a classic telescope, hard to get, but it's easy. Nothing complicated, nothing fancy. Just pop in an eyepiece, and you're studying the
That is so cool.
The universe.
Obviously, also the advancements in the telescopes.
Oh, yeah. Not all manual. You know, we have telescopes now where you just punch a few buttons and it'll salute to your target automatically.
That's so awesome. Now, it's still a bit cold right now for outside events, but are you planning anything for the summer? What are you looking forward to viewing?
The Chicago Astronomer takes a hiatus during the winter months. It's just a little bit too cold out there.
You like the warmth.
When I was a kid, I'd be out there in 20 below, but no, that was decades
ago.
We will start in March. And our season begins in March and ends in December. So we have a long observational season with the public, and thousands of people come out and share the skies with us.
And you just shared so many different events. What's one event that you feel that Chicagoans should pay attention to?
Coming up is that lunar eclipse.
Yeah.
March. March the 14th. It's the Friday. So it's an early morning event. Starts at 12 midnight and ends at 5 a.m. The peak will be at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, if you've seen the first part, the second part is just a repeat of the first part, so you can go back to bed on it. But this is where the Earth blocks out the sun, and it promises to be a deep crimson type of eclipse this time around. And let's hope for clear skies.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Joe, for breaking all that down. Sounds so exciting. We have a lot to look forward for this year.
Oh, me too. Yes.
Thank you for coming on. Up next, books for bilingual learners. Stay with us. Chicago Public Schools have faced challenges in providing bilingual programming for students, along with access to books in their native language. Currently, around 40 Chicago Public Schools offer dual language programs. We spoke with a teacher turned business owner who is working to bridge the gap and ensure students have access to bilingual materials.
Había una vez un niño llamado Bombo que le encantaban las tortas.
Laura Romani says, as a child, she felt most at home when surrounded by books.
We went to the library. The library was like our safe space where we could get help from the librarians for homework, use the computers.
Now she's opening her own book haven. Los Amigos Books is a bilingual bookstore in the Bucktown neighborhood.
So we make sure that all of our bilingual books are written by Latino authors and that they speak to our experiences. So obviously sana, sana, colita de rana is something that mom used to tell us when we used to get hurt.
Before owning a business, Romani spent 5 years as a dual language teacher, instructing students in both English and Spanish.
As a teacher, I noticed the need, but then I saw that same problem and need for myself when I became a mom, and I had those goals of having my son know how to speak Spanish, how to read Spanish. He's the big inspiration for the space.
Her passion for books also led her to study to become a school librarian, where she learned about international purchasing.
The main assignment in the course was to go down to the International Book Fair in Guadalajara and source some books for a customer that may be in need. And luckily, my customer was our school's librarian, and we were a dual language program. So I asked her what she needed. I went and I sourced it and brought it back. So that experience really left a mark on me.
The life-changing experience set her on a new path. With her background in purchasing books, Romani now serves as a vendor for Chicago Public Schools, making sure they have access to bilingual books.
School districts are finally realizing what we always knew, that bilingualism is our greatest asset, and it's something that they have a responsibility of helping us develop. So we are seeing that shift, and with that shift comes a greater need for the resources.
Romani says she wants children to feel represented by the books in her store.
And our logo is me and him, you know, and there's a little book and a little heart because it's, you know, it's all done with the mindset that it's for the younger generation, like my son.
She runs the bookstore with her husband, just a few blocks away from her husband's childhood home in Logan Square, a neighborhood where she hopes to make her mark.
It feels really good to have a space for the community, to take up space, to show people that we are here, that we belong here, and that our experiences and our language matter.
The bookstore offers a selection of Spanish and bilingual children's books, as well as books for adults. We have more details on our website. And that's our show for this Thursday night. Be sure to sign up for our free email newsletter, The Daily Chicagoan, at wtw.com/newsletter. And join us tomorrow night at 5:30 and 7 for the weekend review. Now, from all of us here at Chicago Tonight, I'm Joanna Hernandez. Thank you for watching. Stay healthy and safe. Buenas noches.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a Chicago personal injury and wrongful death firm that supports free educational initiatives in the legal profession.